chapter 119, verse number 11. Very well-known passage of Scripture, but one that has challenged my heart, and I hope that will challenge you as I ask the question to all of us, myself included, what are we hiding in our hearts? What are we hiding in our hearts? Because you may say, well, I'm not hiding anything in my heart, really. And some people may say that, but what we need to realize, we are all hiding something in our hearts. We are all storing something within our hearts. But for us as children of God, if we're going to live a holy life and be able to fight against temptation, we've got to do what the Scripture says. For those just joining on Facebook, we had prayer time first tonight. That is why we started our live stream late. But thank you for joining us as we dig into the Word of God now. Psalm 119, so we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Just kidding. That's a long psalm. I'm not going to do that to you tonight. We'd be there the whole time. So Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. So tonight, as we think about what are you hiding in your heart, everyone knows this scripture, but I want to look at three things tonight, and then we will be done. I've got my supporting scripture here I about forgot about, but the first thing I want to look at tonight is the attacks of the devil. The attacks of the devil. Because notice it says there, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That means we will have an opportunity to sin. Why? Because of the attacks of our flesh and of the devil. Remember, we read a few weeks ago in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." That means the day when the devil comes attacking you with temptation to sin. And remember, we established that. Now, there may be some days that are more evil and more difficult and greater attacks than normal, but I believe every day is an evil day. The devil wants to fight us. He's been fighting me. He wants to fight us every single day. The attacks of the devil are coming. We see 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Three things about the attacks of the devil. First, he is on the prowl constantly. It's not like the devil, when his shift is over, he clocks out and goes home and goes to bed. That's not how it works with the devil. I know that. Because the times where I'm ready to go to bed and the times when I am tired and ready to chill for the day, that seems like that is when the devil attacks me the most. And maybe you feel the same way as I do. But he is on the prowl constantly. That's why it's imperative by God's grace that we just pour our hearts out and admit to God that we have no defense against this enemy before us. When we're the weakest is when he attacks the most. And he'll attack constantly. So we see he's on the prowl constantly. And then he waits to attack when we have lost our concentration. And the word, just to help that make more sense, the word concentration, the part of the definition I want to point out here, the concentration is exclusive attention to one object, close mental application. Basically, when we've taken our eyes off what they're supposed to be on, that's when the devil wants to attack us. When our guard's down, when our eyes are not on Christ, on his word, on his service. And that's everything in this world today, be that Facebook or anything on the internet or anything on the TV, is designed to break our concentration from the things of God to the things of the world. And the devil knows when he's got our concentration broken, that that's when he can attack you and me. One thing I heard today as I was listening to the weather reports about the hurricane, one reporter talked about, he mentioned people, because they were in a lull at the time. Now the wind was still very gusty, very strong gusts. But he said, people are going to think that it's over. and they're going to let their guards down, and they're going to try to go about life and think that it's done. But they would be in the eye of the storm. And just as soon as they let their guard down, the back end of the storm comes. And that's how the devil works. He wants to get us to a place where we think we're good. We can let our guard down. And so many times after some of the greatest spiritual victories, that's when the devil attacks the most. Because us in our flesh, if we're not careful, we can try to ride that feeling. Because when God shows up in a special way, it does feel good. It encourages my heart and my soul. But I too many times I've tried to ride that feeling and not stayed faithful in the things of God and in His Word and in prayer. And that's when the devil attacks. I mean, that's what happened to Jesus. He was baptized in the Jordan River. And we will reference it here in a little while. But then He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. I believe that was just an example for us that after some of the greatest spiritual victories is when He attacks the most. So we see He waits to attack when we have lost our concentration. He is on the prowl constantly, and He attacks compellingly. What that means is having a powerful and irresistible effect. The attacks of the devil and temptation to us in our flesh are irresistible, and they are powerful. And He knows what we desire in our flesh. He knows where we're weak. Now, when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus could not have sinned, and I thank God for that. But He knew where Jesus was physically weak, didn't He? He knew Jesus was hungry. Where'd He hit Him first? Make these stones bread. He knows where to hit us. He knows where we're weak. His attacks are powerful, and to our flesh, apart from God, irresistible. What'd He do in the Garden of Eden? He made that fruit look enticing because of what it had to offer. He knows where we're weak. And He waits until we're weak to attack us in that area. And if we're not prepared, and sadly I've been there way more than I'd like to admit, that's when He attacks, and that's when we fail. And that's why we need to admit our inability to do anything. Because when we're there, that God can do something with us. But when we try to do it in our own power, He says, okay, you do it in your own power. Then when you fall flat on your face, then you realize, I need God. So we see the attacks of the devil. He's on the prowl constantly. He waits to attack when we have lost our concentration. And his attacks compellingly. So that's the attacks of the devil. Number two, we see our action to defend. Our action to defend. First, I want to point out our arsenal. Remember our text. It says, thy word. Thy word. Whose word? God's word. We have got an unlimited arsenal at our disposal in the Word of God. Why? Because of the author. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means literally breathed from the mouth of God. And that's what this means here in our verse. It says, thy word. It literally means thy utterance, thy speech. See, that's what the Bible is. We don't call the Bible God's Word because it tells us about God, but because God Himself literally spoke these words. Now, men may have written them with their hands, but that's one thing people get caught up. I was thinking about that yesterday. People get caught up thinking about, well, who wrote Hebrews? We're not exactly sure. I know who wrote Hebrews, and it was God. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter the man. Or it doesn't matter who penned it. It matters who spoke it, and that was God. That's where the power's at. That's what we must understand. This book is powerful, not because Paul penned part of it, but because the God of the universe penned it. He spoke it. That's where the power is. That's what it says. It says, and it goes on, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And we'll address that in a moment. But we have a powerful arsenal because of the author, but also because of its ability. We see in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we see here, we got a powerful word with great ability. The ability that it has, first, is to fully equip you and me. We have all we need in the Word of God. God tells you to do it. He'll enable you to do it here by being obedient to what this says. That's what it says in Hebrews, or not Hebrews, 2 Timothy 3, verse 17, that the man of God, that just means the man or woman of God, the one that is saved by the grace of God. Now he's speaking to Timothy, a preacher, but that the application is to every child of God, that we have the word, God breathed, and it is profitable that the man of God may be perfect or complete, having all we need, truly furnished unto all good works. The word of God can give us the equipment to do anything God wants us to do, and that means fighting off the attacks of the devil. Saying no to temptation. Saying yes to Jesus. It's all we have, all we need in the Word. Not in self-help books. Not in YouTube videos. Not in Facebook posts. Although there might probably be some stuff on there that encourage you. But let's go to the Word first. And let God speak. And then we can enjoy the other things. Because so many times we try to find its solutions everywhere else. And then when we can't find it anywhere else, then we go to God. We need to go to God first. So we see our arsenal, the author. We saw that 2 Timothy 3:16 is God. It's God-breathed. The ability, its ability is to fully equip and to forcefully expound. We see it shows us who we are. There's no greater mirror that we can look into than the mirror of the Word. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God can cut to the heart of the matter. You want to see where you're at with God? Get in the Word of God. Don't gauge yourself against somebody else that you go to church with, or one of your friends that is saved, but by what the Bible says. And we get in there, we're all going to realize this is us. At our best, this is us. This is all. This is us. Well, see, we spend too much time looking around. Well, I'm better than them, so I'm not. I'm better than somebody. That stands for something. No, that don't mean nothing. Devil wants you to think that, because he's walking about waiting on you to let your guard down, and that's when he will attack. So we see our arsenal, but then we see next our action. We then notice it says, "Thy word have I hid." The word have I hid in my heart. That means to hoard or to store up. Or it also means, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, it means to treasure. You see, like I said earlier, we're always hiding something in our heart. And see, that's the first thing. If we're going to have the proper action and hide God's word in our heart, we've got to first evacuate our heart of sin or sinful things. If we're going to fill our heart with God and His Word so that it can help us to avoid sin, then it may mean we got to get some things out of there. It may mean we've got to repent of some things, because you can't fill something up with something when it's already filled with something else. That's why we need to let the Word of God, we need to look into the mirror of God's Word, let Him tell us what needs to go so that we can fill our vessel, fill our hearts, fill our minds with His Word so that we can be the powerful man and woman of God that He wants us to be. And when the devil comes knocking, we could say, not today. This is what the Bible says, and that's where I stand. There must be evacuation of sin and sinful things, but also saturation in the Scriptures. You know what you hide in your heart? What you think about most. What you do the most. You know what Jasper hides in his heart right now? Just look at his feet. Mario and or Sonic. You know how I know that? That's all he talks about. He's got Sonic shoes, and he wanted this morning when we got up, first thing he said was, "Daddy, when we going to church?" Not because he was super spiritual and wanted to go worship God. He wanted to slap his shoes on so Remy could see him. His heart is full of that, because that's all he thinks about. That's all he watches. See, if we want our heart to be filled, and when I say heart, I mean our mind. If we want our mind to be filled with the Word of God, to be filled with something that can help us to avoid sin, then that means we've got to think about it. We've got to read it. See, we think about a lot of things during the day. If you gauged your day and you broke it down by what I was thinking about at this time throughout this section of the day, how much of the day would take, how much of the time of the day would your thoughts of the Bible and God's Word and His work, how much of your day would that take up? And if we're all honest with ourselves, not as much as it should. And that's why we're not hiding it in our heart like we should. We've got things hidden in our heart, but not the things of God. Because you know what's hidden in your heart by what comes out your mouth, by the way you act, by what you think about. We all, no matter how much time we spend in the Word, need to spend more. We need to, like Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the changing of your mind. We need to sit like a good chicken in some stew to get that flavor, and we need to sit like Miss Linda did with her pork chop. That she said that 24 hours in that stuff, best pork chop I've ever had, right? 2 or 3 days, amen, even better. All I know is it was amazing because it just soaked in the good stuff. That's what we need to do with the Word of God. Just bask in it, soak in it, read it in the morning. Think about it all day. Listen to godly music that brings spiritual principles and precepts from the Bible to your mind. Listen to good preaching. We live in the 2022 where we all have access, even Brother Gene, to a computer. Brother Gene's still flip phone. I love it. He always makes me laugh when I say it. But in the age we live in, we can all listen. We got radios. We can listen to God. If we wanted to, we could keep our mind on God all day. Now, maybe not, I don't mean like every second of the day, but our mind is just constantly thinking of the Lord and His love for us. And that all sparks from being saturated in the Scriptures. So our action, evacuation of sin and sinful things, saturation in the Scriptures. And then when we do that, see, I talked about that the hiding it in our heart has to do with storing it up, but then it also has to do with treasuring. You know, the more time you spend in the Bible, the more you'll enjoy it. Psalm chapter 1 talks about I've delighted in thy law all day and night. You don't delight in something unless you spend a lot of time with it. My brother loved golf because he plays it all the time. I began to love Carrie because I spent a lot of time with her. You want to love God and His Word, spend more time in it. Spend more time with Him. You'll grow to love Him. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit within you, you've got a yearning you may not even realize to know Him and His Word better. Feed that. And it'll change your life. It'll change your desires. You'll have an infatuation with the Savior. You say, well, we're talking about the Scriptures. Yeah. You can't love the Bible and not love Jesus. You can't. They're hand in hand. Jesus wrote the Bible. It's all about Jesus. You want to love Jesus more? Get in your Bible. You want to love your Bible more? Think about Jesus. Infatuation with the Savior. So very quickly, and I'll be done, three things. We see the attacks of the devil, the action to defend, and number three, the awesome development. So he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Three things, rapid fire. If we'll do that, saturate ourselves in the Scriptures. First, we see the Spirit will remind us. Remember, the evil day is coming. The evil day is coming, but will we be prepared for it? You get in the evil day, having been in the Word, having soaked in the good stuff, and you get in the Holy Spirit will bring back to your mind the Word of God. That's His job. Remember the way of escape the Bible talks about? I believe that may be one of those ways. The Holy Spirit, for a child of God who's been loving God and loving His Word, He brings a verse of Scripture, kind of like throwing you a dagger, and gives you an opportunity to attack with it. He'll bring to your remembrance the Word of God, and then the saint will rely upon the Scriptures, take it, use it, cling to it. And then Satan will run. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do we resist the devil? How did Jesus resist the devil? It is written. That's why so many Christians, that's why me so many times, I fell victim to the attacks of the devil because I wasn't here like I should be. And the devil knows how much of your Bible you read every day. He wants you to read less. He knows that. You say, oh, well, he don't see my Bible reading time or lack thereof. Oh, yeah, he does. And he wants you to do it less. He's always going to give you a ship to Tarshish, a way out, an opportunity not to read it. not to do the things of God, not to come to church. That's why so many people, Miss Doris, that got out of church during COVID haven't come back to their church, because it gets easy. You do it once, it gets easy to do it again. And again, that's even for saved people. May God help us not to think that people that haven't come back to church are lost. It just gets easy. It gets easier. Hey, missed church one time on purpose. I can't fathom that. But missed church on purpose, I promise, you'll have a little desire deep down not to go the next time. And the next time. I'm telling you, that's how we work. We're fighting against our flesh. Read Romans 7. And if we feed our flesh instead of our spirit, the flesh is going to have control. So the Spirit will remind us. The saint will rely on the Word of God. And Satan will run. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You want to fight off the attacks of the devil? Know the Bible. When he attacks, throw up your trust in the Scriptures, in whatever area it is. The Bible says it'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not some, all. The Bible is the key. May God help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against him. Myself included. I've got too many losses under my belt. It breaks my heart. All because I didn't do, by God's grace, what I was supposed to do. But we can, hey, quit looking in the past and move forward. Let's go from where we are now to where we're going to be. Let's get in the Bible more. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to share your word. Lord, please help me. Please help me to be obedient to what I've just said. Please do not let these just be words out of my mouth, but please help me to live them by your grace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 4 minutes late. I was only 15. That's only.